Hello and welcome back to Femme Noir. We are a podcast that reviews and analyzes films that are written, directed by, or starring women and discusses their representation pertaining to the industry and what we see on screen. I'm Serena.
And I'm Whitney.
And today we are talking about Saltburn, which got a lot of hype.
It did.
For reasons.
Yeah, it got a lot of good hype. It got a lot of bad hype. But I mean, you know, hype is hype. It got people talking.
I swear that's what happened with her first movie, Emerald Fennell, the director, who needs to stop writing her own movies, in my opinion. I'm just going to say that right now.
Her first movie was Promising Young Woman?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
People were like, I hate this movie, but also, and then it, like, didn't it win an Oscar?
Ooh, good question.
And I was pissed.
I forget.
I know it was definitely nominated.
The issues that I had with Promising Young Woman, I also had with Saltburn.
No, same.
which, like, for me, my big one is... pacing. I hate slow stories. I just don't have the attention span for it. Like, not that they're bad, not that I don't think that they're good. I just literally don't have the attention span to watch or read anything that is just moves as slow as this movie did.
Mm-hmm.
I get so bored, but then also I have to finish the movie. And so then I'm either constantly pausing the movie and, like, coming back to it, or I'm, like, stewing in my dislike as I'm,
literally,
like, trying to watch this movie.
Oh, my gosh. No, yeah, that's exactly... Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, upon initial watch, when I finished watching it for the first time, I was like, hey, that was... exactly what I was hoping it wasn't going to be. And then I was like, I am upset. And mostly because I think it's marketed as, like, a critique of, like, class structure and, like, privilege and desire. And I was like, it's not a very good critique. Just in the fact that, like, generally when you critique something, you, like, point out the bad things in the thing you're trying to critique, like class structure. But then I low-key feel like like the guy literally ends up becoming the guys that he's like, the main character ends up becoming what she's trying to critique in the first place, which is like, could be part of the critique, but it's also like, it's not done very well because you have no one to, like, root for, technically. Like, you just, like, honestly, yeah. If I had to root for anybody in this movie, it would have been freaking Felix. I'm like, they did Felix dirty. Felix is the best person in this movie. And that's crazy.
Okay, you have just hit, like, at least three major talking points that I want to talk about. And a couple smaller ones that I'm probably... I'm gonna forget in like 2 seconds, but like just everything you just said wants to make me go onto like this long tangent.
It's just like, stop writing these things, please. Like, if you wanted it to be a movie where it's like, we don't like this guy and we don't like this guy, and this is a sad story because this is just a cycle on repeat, then like, you gotta like, do it. you know? Yeah. Like, don't end it with, oh, yeah, this guy's awesome. Mm-hmm. He finally did the thing. Murder on the dance floor, dance scene, baby. Like, no. If we're supposed to root for him, then give us something to root for, because he literally sucks.
Like, that's the thing, though. You're not supposed to like him.
We're not.
It's kind of like that one movie that we reviewed that starts off with this is a disagreeable female main character, you're not gonna like her, don't get mad at us. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Yes, that one was a good one.
Yes, so I think it's supposed to be like that, where you're not supposed to like the character. He's not supposed to, Oliver, the main character, is not supposed to be, someone you're rooting for. This isn't a story about a hero. It's a story about a villain. and it's a story about him achieving his villain arc. Like, you've got the hero's arc, right? Mm. How he goes from, like, a flawed character to, like, the hero of the story by overcoming these obstacles. It's the opposite for Oliver. I think this is a story about how he falls and not how he rises.
I mean, but even with that, it's like, dude, him becoming evil, like, because of these people or whatever, is also still, like, they're not, what's it? They're only mm-hmm. Felix is likable enough for us to be like, yes, that's a sad mm-hmm. thing. I think because also his entire family sucks, and they make such a big deal about him being quote unquote poor in the beginning, that it's just like, mm-hmm. okay. So,
no, the critique on classism, I think, is the shallow way to view the movie, right?
Yeah,
it's the thing that you're supposed to see going into it,
and that's I don't like, is that they marketed the hell out of that, as if like that's supposed to be what the movie's about. And I was like, stop.
I'm not surprised, because, I mean, like, you still have a lot of people now who are still, you know, very, like, pro eat the rich. And it's still, like, a trending hashtag, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially now with everything that happened with Kellogg. I think they played that. I made that the focus of the marketing, because they knew that that was what would bring people in.
And that's what a lot of people took away from it. Like, looking at, yeah. like, what was the trend after that? It was people showing off their houses and being like, to that song. And then yeah. people were like, you do realize that the whole point of the movie is that we don't like that, because, like, you're still rich and, like, you don't deserve that. And I was like, you guys,
yeah,
neither one of you is correct. And that's why I think it's a bad movie.
I think it's
not a bad movie. I think it's not very well written. Like, there are other examples of movies like this that do it better. And for this to be her follow-up movie, I think
specifically for the classism aspect, I agree.
I think the thing is that I'm like, okay, if we're looking at just, like, the movie, right? You've got the beginning mm-hmm. where he's supposed to be poor, and you're like, okay, poor with this guy. But also, he's kind of weird, so maybe not. Like, he's not really... He's literally an outsider by choice, almost. Like, he has literally no reason to be like that. Like, he's not even nice to people. So, like, there's literally no reason for people to be like, yeah, maybe we should be friends with him. Like, the only person he does anything mm-hmm. nice to is Felix with the bike thing, which mm-hmm. is a crazy thing to do.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, I planned this from the beginning, is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, no, you did not. There's no way you planned that. And then why would you do that? Especially if he's not even poor. He's just a middle class dude.
No. He's upper middle class. And for me, like, this does kind of, like, play a big factor into, like, why he took over Saltburn and why it's not just about classism.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, like, for me, when he gets to college, right, mm-hmm. it's a fish out of water story. He's shy, he's awkward, he's so very clearly out of his element that he doesn't know how to fit in. And so you start to sympathize with that. Like, that's all understandable. We've all kind of had moments where we've been like the outsider in a new situation, because we see very, very, like, the first thing we see is all these kids who've grown up together and gone to boarding school together and holidayed together, like being friends and playing and hanging out in the courtyard and the hallways. Like, they're all a very tight-knit, rich community.
Yeah.
And he isn't. He comes off, like, as you said, he comes off poor and out of his depth. And they kind of have his foil with the math guy, the one where you're like, oh, he got
the
in
the guy immediately
of scholarships.
That's,
yeah,
like, oh my god.
Yeah, so you have this second fish out of water. You're just kind of like, oh, you know, like, they must both be scholarship kids because this is a very rich school, and if he's coming off poor and he's coming off kind of a little unbalanced but like very smart, like, there's a reason that, like, that must be the reason why they're there, because they're just, they're obviously not in the element. So that's, like, so you're supposed to sympathize with them trying to fit into this new place.
Except I don't, because he doesn't do anything that makes me feel like, oh, poor guy.
So he, you're right, first of all. He doesn't try that hard to fit in.
Like, the first thing he does is literally get into a fight with Farley about his own essay.
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
Okay,
hold on. I've got, that's another thing. I've got something about that. But then, so then also, like, as he's kind of, like, going through the school, you have all the rich kids who are looking down on him, right?
Yeah.
And, like not,
except,
like,
for Felix.
Outright teasing him. Well, yeah, except for Felix. But, like, you have, like, all these people, like, talking behind his back, kind of making fun of him, right? And so he gets on the defensive, and he kind of gets, like, a little bit more mean, and you're just kind of like, okay, like, you know, fish out of water, he's being defensive, like, he's kind of, like, in, like, a bad, well, not a bad situation, like, a rough situation. Like, you kind of, like, you can justify it, right? Like, if you want. No, I'm,
yeah,
not, okay,
if you,
I
really
see the
want,
face.
If
I,
you,
yeah,
really want to, you,
if you
technically
really
could justify it.
Yeah, because, like, because you're still, because it's still the beginning of the movie. This is, like, maybe not even 15 minutes in, right? So you're still under the assumption,
yeah, you're
that
under
this
the
is
assumption
a hero.
Upon first watch.
You're under the assumption that this is someone that you're supposed to like. So you try to justify why you're supposed to like him. And then you do get to the scene with Farley and his paper, right? And I think for me, this is where one of the biggest themes is outright stated. Farley says something along the lines of, like, you focused too much on style when you should be focusing more on substance.
Oh, yeah, because he points out, I actually wrote this down when it happened because I was like, this is kind of hilarious. Because he's reading his essay and he says thus like 7 times. And then he calls him, he's like, yeah, okay, sure, like, use your words thus and thus. And then he's like, okay, so? And he's like, I don't know, it's just a little verbose. Like, don't you think? And then he's like, no. And I'm like, bro, what? Like, yes, that is crazy. Like, it's 2007.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, well, that's like, but a stylistic choice. And then he's like, you should be, like, critiquing the content of the essay instead of, like, the stylistic choice of the thing. And he's like, but also the style has a lot to do with whether it's perceived as good or not.
But see, like, right there, right? That kind of gets into, like I said, like, the major theme
that
where
is this movie.
You find out kind of, like, as you, like, watch the movie, as the story unfolds, you find out that the Cattons, the owners of Saltburn, they are kind of like the style of society, right? It's all showy, it's all flash, like, there's no substance to them.
Yeah.
And then Felix, or not Felix, I'm so sorry, Oliver is supposed to be like the substance, right? So the style versus substance of people, of society, of kind of what's going on, right? He is like this very, like, layered person, as we slowly find out throughout the film, right? Because just so much, you know, this whole, his whole plan, all the little plots that he has going on, different aspects of his personality that comes out, you know, he goes from, like, this weird, shy kid to, like, really weirdly dominating and like in control of these situations. Like he, like his character definitely changes and you see different aspects of him. So yeah, he's kind of
very
like
very odd.
Yeah, so he's supposed to be like this substance and he's paralleled against the style of the Cattons. And Felix is the middleman between the two of them. He's what connects the two. He has both style and substance, right?
Yeah.
Because he actually cares about people. While he has this rich, showy, stylistic background.
Mm.
So Felix is the middleman. He's the guy. He's the hero. He's the one you're rooting for.
Yeah.
Because he has the best of both worlds.
It's a tragic story.
Mm.
And literally, like, none of what he says is, like, technically wrong either. Like, mm-hmm. about Felix, at least. Like, Felix being the, like... Like, yeah, like, everybody loves him, and, like, you know, he doesn't get to be... Like, it's almost as if, like, his substance is taken away from him because he's so popular. Like, he doesn't get to be his own person because he's literally the hero in everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, yeah. Like, that's fine. It's just very interesting to be like, what? Like, why would you do all of this? Just to, like, I don't know, get close to him? Like, what was the point?
Well, it's like the sister said. He's a moth, right? He has to make holes in what he consumes. He's attracted to the light. And I think Oliver was just so obsessed and so drawn to Felix that he was just like, he was consuming him. He was making holes in Felix. And like, a person can only take so much of their substance being taken away from them.
Mm.
And that inevitably had to lead to his death. The director, I'm pretty sure it was the director. She said that you should view this movie as a vampire movie. That's kind of like how she, like, that was like one of the things that she was basing this movie off of.
Mm.
Like she wanted a gothic movie. And part of that is how she kind of like wove in like a, I guess you could call it like a non-traditional vampire.
Yeah, I could see that. The marketing really does this movie an injustice, which I felt the same about Promising Young Woman. I was like, it was marketed in a way, and it is very much not what it's marketed as.
I didn't really consume any marketing for this movie at all. Usually when an ad would start playing on Instagram or TikTok, I scrolled away pretty quick. And then slowly people started coming out and just pretty much just saying like, oh my God, Saltburn, so crazy.
Which is also crazy because this is not that crazy. I was like, I think it's just because it was like it's mainstream and it's definitely like,
yeah,
written in kind of like that indie movie, like way, like that yeah. A24 way, but it's not that yeah. like... Mm-hmm. I don't know what people were like thinking it was like. I was not surprised at all. I was like, yeah, obviously, like, but I obviously I've watched other movies that have mm-hmm. Barry Keoghan in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yeah, like this is no different than other movies he's been in. Like, it's not any different really than like as far as shock value goes, like Killing of a Sacred Deer, Neon Demon, like it's amongst the same lines. So I was like, I don't know why everyone's freaking out. Like, we all watch Call Me By Your Name. What Timothy did that. Peach, like, come on. Okay, it's literally not that different.
I think you are overestimating the general public.
I absolutely am. It's just like, wow. Or, like, not overestimating. It's just like, wow. That's kind of weird when the general public gets a hold of things like this. Because we're like, dude. It's not that bad. Like, it's not that crazy.
No. That's where I think you're overestimating them. I think you assume that they've seen a lot of the same movies you've seen.
Oh, no. It's that they got a hold of a movie that is definitely, like, made for the audience of, like, indie, like,
a niche movie. Yeah.
Like, audience. And they're like, ah, and made it mainstream, and then because of that they were all like shocked and bleh, and it was like, okay, gotcha, like, yeah, okay, we chill, like
okay, I understand now.
It's like that's almost a disservice to the movie itself, in addition to like the marketing, because that lends mm-hmm. itself to the marketing of the movie, and the talks about the movie is just like,
do not talk about the marketing doing a disservice to this movie, first of all, right? Okay. Like I said, when I, like, the marketing that I consumed, very extremely minimal, until people really started coming out and making, like, TikToks about it, right? When they, like, when it really, really, like, blew up, kind of at its peak. Mm-hmm. Before that, though, before that happened, you told me, oh my God, Saltburn, you need to watch it, we need to talk about it. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, like, vaguely aware of it, kind of understand.
And that was literally sure just because I knew it was Emerald Fennell, and I was like, she did Promising Young Woman, I'm very interested to see like what she does next. And I was just like, we should talk about it on the podcast.
yeah okay. And then you also said something about vampires.
I don't know
what you said. I have absolutely no clue. You said it, it immediately left my mind. The one single word about the movie that stuck in my mind was the word vampire, right?
Oh, I think it's because I read an article that was talking about this one and another movie that was talking about like vampire sex. And it was literally because of both of the fact that these two movies had a scene in it in which there's like oral sex done to a woman while she's on her period. And I was like, that's weird that's huh. It was like I hadn't heard anything about the movie except for that, and that was like after like the first screenings of the movie, like while they're doing their tour. And so,
well, I really wish I had remembered that you specifically said that. I really do, because about a week after you told me we need to watch this movie, my brother and his friends, my baby brother and his friends, were going to the movies. And they're like, hey, we don't know what to watch. Can you give us recommendations? So I pull up the listing and I'm like, okay, well, you might like this movie, you might like this movie. But my friend Serena said that this is a really good movie. I don't know what it's about, but it's about vampires. And he's like, okay, cool, I'm going to go watch it. He came home traumatized.
Oh my
God. It's also his favorite movie.
That's so funny. That's actually
all
hilarious. That is so funny. Whoa.
He sat in a theater with his friends watching this movie on my recommendation.
I was like, look, the only part of this movie that I was like, okay, I feel like you maybe went a little too far with this one. And I was like, we get it. You didn't have to do all that. Mm. Was the grave. And I was like, okay, Jesus. My God.
That was improv.
Yes, that was improv, which is like, it's like, it's a little on the nose, don't you think? Because I was literally going to say, like, the only good thing about this movie is, like, how she... Or I think the best thing about this movie, in, like, my opinion, is how she uses sex and, like, as a...
Domination? Power?
Not necessarily that, but it's kind of like a... Like, a tool to kind of show, like, outwardly the, like, inward, like... lustful desire that this guy has for everything that this family has, like, including like, you've got Oliver Bathwater, like, when he does that, you're like, okay, this guy, like, it's not just that he's obsessed with this guy, it's that, like, when you're consuming, literally, as you said earlier, like the vampire type thing, like when you're consuming that much of a person and it's done in like sexual, like intimate act, like he's drinking his bathwater after having masturbated it, like in a lot of movies that's like part of the like obsessive like intimate like consuming of not just a person but their being as well. You see it a lot in like cannibal movies where it's like this, the idea of like cannibalism and sex are also very much like intertwined, or like the idea of love. So I was like, she did a really good.
I can't do body horror.
I was like, she did a really good job with that. Maybe I don't think she had to do that much. Like, we would have gotten it. But yeah, like for example, I said Neon Demon earlier was a movie that I would think of when I think about, I don't know. But like at some point, the girl, it's literally about like how LA like consumes you, and then like, you know, the industry of Hollywood fashion, etc. And then you are literally like eaten by the people in the industry who want what you have, which is literally what happens in the movie. Like, it's once again very on the nose. But yeah, I was like watching this movie, I was like, all of the like sexual situations that he's in are literally outward projections of like how much he just wants to be, like, he doesn't just want to be in this family, he wants to, he needs it to be also a part of him, if that makes sense.
It does. I'm gonna counter,
add
on to, build off of, not counter, because like I agree with that, I think that is a good point. But the way that I took the sexual situations in the movie is that that was him showing his domination to the family. Like, every time he had sex with them, or, I guess the grave, is like, he was the one in control. He was the one with the power. He's saying like, you think you're above me, but look at me here.
Yeah.
Like, here, I'm the one controlling the situation.
Yeah, especially when he does it with Farley, and he literally threatens him as he's doing that. And I'm still not quite sure that that was, like, a consensual.
It was not.
Like, I was like,
no.
I don't like that at all.
You shouldn't. No, that was not consensual.
Which I'm very confused as to why nobody was fucking talking about that. But whatever.
Me too. No, me too. I agree.
I was like, y'all want to talk about the grave scene, but also, like, this man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Threatened while having sex with a guy that literally was, like, not wanting it. Whatever. It's fine, I guess. Sure. We're not there yet as a society.
I think people possibly weren't talking about it because at that point we knew he was the villain.
Yeah, you're like, well, I hope so.
We knew he was the bad guy. Yeah.
And like, people want to be like, so, this is a good for him, like, kind of like how Promising Woman's like a good for her film. And I'm like, I don't really think so, because both of them are not good. Like, even Promising Young Woman, that girl, she does all of this without any of it being like, oh, did I ever think about what my friend would have wanted? No, it's only for her. She puts herself in these crazy situations, and then she literally makes another woman after being like, I would never want a woman to go through like what my friend went through. She literally drugs another woman and makes her think that she was, like, trigger warning, raped at a hotel. And, like, it doesn't remember what happened the next day, just to make a point.
I don't remember that. Maybe, oh,
the friend
on,
from college, when
that.
She goes and has dinner with her, she, like, drugs her. And then when she, like, wakes up, she's like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what happened. Like, she doesn't actually, like, do that, but she makes her believe that. Because she's like, oh, okay, so being drunk is an excuse. And it's like, dude, what? Like, that's insane. Like, that's evil. Like, to cause someone the same amount of emotional trauma, like, that's
But yeah, I mean, I think at that point there was just so much other stuff. Well, okay, not by the end of the movie. By the end of the movie, there was just so many other things that people were shocked by, because as sad as it is, I think assault is too common in movies.
Oh, yeah.
That they weren't shocked by it. But they were shocked by the bathtub scene. They were shocked by the graveyard scene. And the assault was just kind of like, oh, you know, it's just another assault. Yikes. And that's why they were able to brush by it.
And I'm not going to lie, by the time we get to the end of the movie, when Felix actually dies, I'm still, like, so confused.
Have you seen the breakdowns of the Greek mythology aspects of the film?
I haven't seen the breakdowns. I definitely was thinking about it a lot. It's just, like...
Mm-hmm.
There were almost, like, too many things that it could have been that I was like, wait, which one? Which one?
Let me send you.
Because I remember looking up, like, the iconography of the antlers at the party that he wears.
Oh, I haven't seen anything about the antlers.
Because in certain cultures, it's kind of like a spiritual, like, superiority. So I was like, okay.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay. I haven't heard anything specifically about antlers, but I have heard that kind of like about deer, like about stags.
Yeah, deer.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like Artemis with her, like, yeah, I don't know. There's like a lot. And then it's like different cross-culturally as well, because like it can also be like what is it, like how the male energy like is portrayed, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is interesting.
I
like rebirth,
didn't even
they
think
like
about
shed
it. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I don't even know anymore, there's too many things that this could be.
Interesting. I feel like I feel like I had heard all the different takes about Saltburn at this point because it was such a talked about movie. But I never heard anything about the antlers. And now I got to think about that.
Because
that all makes a lot of sense. And it does add like just another layer.
And it's like right before he dies.
Yeah. But so I just sent you a link. And it's like halfway down the article, it talks about the Greek mythology of Theseus and the Minotaur, because Felix dies in front of the Minotaur statue. Mm-hmm.
And the Minotaur statue, fun fact, was actually based off of Barry Keoghan's body itself.
I saw that. Yeah,
crazy.
Okay, hold on. Just to make sure that I am going to hit the point, what was the question again?
I'm confused about the end. Like, what? So many things.
I didn't understand a lot of stuff until I started, you know, consuming different takes, mm-hmm. learning different parts, different layers of the movie. And for me, it clicked with the breakdown of the Greek mythology. It's kind of like a couple different stories, and I'm going to try not to butcher it. But you have the story of the Minotaur, right? Where the king was supposed to sacrifice like his prized bull to Poseidon, but he loved the bull too much that he sacrificed a lesser bull to Poseidon. Poseidon found out, had the king's wife fall in love with the prized bull, and had the Minotaur as a son. Then the king had the maze built for the Minotaur, and that's, you know, that's what they have on the grounds. They have a maze with a Minotaur in it. I think, and Oliver is supposed to represent Theseus. He is a prince who goes into the maze to slay the Minotaur, and he does this with the help of someone else. Her name is, I think, like Adine, Aradne, something like that. Mm-hmm. I link it to spiders, especially because what she does, I don't think it's Arachne, but essentially this girl helps him by giving him a spool of thread so that he can find his way back out of the maze once he kills the Minotaur. And like, he was supposed to meet back up with her afterwards and get married and, you know, live happily ever after. But he ends up leaving her on an island, right? And like, completely just forgets about her, uses her up, and then like leaves her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on his way back home, his father, a different king, says, "Hey, when you're coming, when the boat returns, I want you to sail a white flag if you're alive, and a black flag if you're dead." And he's gonna
wave a black flag if he's dead. How are you able to wave a flag at all if you're dead?
Oh, well, his crew, like, you know, so his dad wanted, you know, he wanted knowledge before, he didn't want to be surprised upon the boat's landing. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, Theseus decides to fly a black flag, and so his dad thinks that his son is dead and ends up, I forget if he falls off a cliff or if he commits suicide by jumping off a cliff, but either way the dad dies because he thinks his son is dead.
Yes.
So Theseus then returns home and ends up taking over his dad's place as king. So his son like tricks his dad into dying and supplants his place, which is why Oliver is like Theseus, right?
Yeah.
But then if you
doesn't it also kind of continue... go into like, because the other image with his wings was Icarus.
Yes. And then if you continue going off that, the king who had the Minotaur as a son needed someone to blame, you know, for all of this, and ends up blaming Daedalus?
Daedalus. I think
is how you pronounce it? Daedalus. And ends up throwing Daedalus and Icarus.
Because he's the guy that makes the maze, right?
Yes. And so Daedalus and Icarus are in jail because of, you know, everything that happened, and the king is grieving. And Daedalus then builds the wings so that they can escape. And then you have the whole Icarus story.
Flying too close to the sun.
And yeah.
That one makes less sense. Like, obviously it makes sense that, like, maybe the family itself is, like, flying too close to the sun. But it's, like, Felix isn't necessarily, like, an Icarus-type figure.
Felix isn't Icarus, but he's a reference to the story. I think Felix is the sun, right?
Like, the sun is in, like, S-U-N?
S-U-N, okay. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, my mistake.
I was like, isn't the sun Icarus?
No.
Maybe he's,
yes,
maybe
but...
he's the Minotaur.
I don't know who the Minotaur would be in this movie, but...
It could be the Minotaur. The family
Felix?
Is the king. They have this labyrinth. Felix is the Minotaur. Maybe it's like one of those twisted stories of Minotaur is not actually a monster, but
oh no,
victim
in the,
or whatever.
The stories, the Minotaur is a monster. Like, they ritually sacrifice people to the Minotaur.
I mean, they kind of did that for Felix, right? He just didn't know.
Did they?
I don't know. Probably.
I feel like Felix would have known.
Maybe. He also, like, yeah, he probably would have done, because he also was an idiot, which is the only reason I can justify the scene where they talk about Farley being black. Like, why did they do that? They did not even really talk about it or address it in any way other than just to bring it up and drop it. I was like, okay.
I think, like, for me, they were trying to like show that as much as Felix is supposed to be like the hero, he is still flawed, right? He still has these blind spots, and that he isn't kind of like this perfect person. It's just because he isn't as in touch with so this is where the classism would come in, right? He's still rich. He's still as out of touch with the
And he's
common
still
everyday
white.
lives of every, and he's still white, of the every person. Like, he's not as in touch as we thought he was.
No, because even earlier in the film, when he's trying to convince his friend to invite Oliver to the whatever party or whatever, and she's like, dude, nobody wants to sit next to him. And he's like, that can't be true. Like, you're being so rude. Like, shut up. It's like he's completely oblivious to the fact that, like, other people have opinions about people around him. Like, he literally yells at the girl and is like, oh my God, you're being so rude. I can't believe you would say something like that. And she's like, it's true. Like, everybody makes fun of him for how he dresses. Like, he's such a weird dude. He does all of these things. And then he's like, wow, so rude.
I see where you're coming from, but like at that point, he like I think we were supposed to be rooting for Felix. Like, we're like, oh wow, he's such a good friend. He's sticking up for his friend.
Yeah, at that point, but then like to further like go on to the like it does add to him being kind of out of touch later
Out
on
of
in the film,
touch.
you know? Of just being
Yeah,
like not really
okay.
on the same, like he just sees his own thing.
So that, well, I mean, like, that's kind of. So there is another theme to the movie, where it's not everyone is as they seem, right? Everyone's got like this hidden depth to them. And we see that a lot with the family and poor dear Pamela. Carey Mulligan, right? Where to her face, they're all very supportive, and then behind their back, they're talking about her, right? And they're all kind of like fed up with her. And it's just like in that scene, like Felix, when he's standing up for Oliver, is kind of like the one person who does kind of appear to be who he is. Like, he is who he appears to be,
Yeah,
sorry.
like he is what you get at face value.
Yeah. And meanwhile, as the whole movie goes on, with those, like, with that girl and with, like, the rest of the group, right? Like, you kind of assume, like, oh, everyone likes Oliver. Oliver's part of the group. He's their friend. And then we get that scene, and they're like, oh, wait a
With the
minute.
exception of Farley, because Farley does not like him from the beginning. He never fucking likes this dude.
Yeah, Farley, I mean, Farley, he didn't try too hard, but he did try a little bit to get along with Oliver. He, like I said, he
Think he
didn't try
just
too
accepted
hard.
his presence. He was like, but I don't like you though.
Yeah.
It is
No, but I mean,
unfortunate though
like,
to have a black character in a movie that's like talking about all of these things, like the vampiric nature of like desire and greed and whatnot, and then to for 1 second bring up race and then completely disregard it.
yeah.
It's like, why? Like, if you're gonna do the desire, like, just do that. Like, it's kind of like one of those like Bridgerton situations where it's like, if you bring race into it and like everything, like if that is canon in your like world building, then that has so many more implications than like now it's like you're almost omitting everything else because you showed a little bit of that. And so instead of having it, like maybe you should have just not had it. It's like when people try to comment on something they have no business talking about. It's like, why would you like don't bring it up then? Mm-hmm. Like, if you weren't ready to talk about it, then don't bring it up. That's just like a personal thing that I have, because it's like, when it comes to like characters like Farley, it's like, dang, we really can't just have like characters that are like just black for being a black character. Like, it's kind of like that thing of like, does it always have to be that we have to be talking or like defending ourselves for being in a movie, for being in mm-hmm. said situation in every single movie that we're in? Like, no, maybe sometimes we can just be a random rich dude. Is that so hard to believe?
I think, so with that explanation, for me, I think they brought it up then just kind of as a shortcut.
Oh yeah, it felt
further
cheap.
To further, you know, the classist storyline, classism storyline, and then to also just like a quick shortcut to show like, oh, Felix is flawed, like he still has his blind spots.
Yeah. We do have to talk about that scene, though, because that dinner scene where they're talking to dear old Pamela and she's like, I think I'm going to go and stay, like, with a friend of mine. I've been such, a, like, an imposition on you guys. And they're like, no, darling, I could see how you would think that, but absolutely not. But also, I would never want to make you think that you should stay.
Oh,
dude, the way she delivered those lines was so good. I freaking, yeah. Like, I love that woman. I'm not gonna lie. Not Carrie Mulligan's mm-hmm. character, but, what's her face? Rosamund Pike.
Yes.
Like, Rosamund Pike is, I am obsessed with her. She is so good at acting. That it's just like, I freaking love her.
Yeah. She, I think she was my favorite character in the whole movie. Because like I said, like she's very two-faced.
Yeah.
She's kind of leading the cast when it comes to like the two-faced.
Oh yeah.
Aspects of it. But, I think Rosamund Pike as an actress nailed it.
Oh yeah.
The
way she delivered the line when she first sees Oliver and goes like, oh darling, he's so handsome, and he's like, I told you that he was. She's like, yeah, but like, you can be like that though. You're nicer than most people.
See, so that line it, like, that's kind of the beginning of where you see how Felix is like the intermediary between his family and Oliver. He's yeah. the middle ground, the meeting
absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely.
Because even like,
we were really about to say the exact same thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because even like at this point in the film, like when it's just beginning, you see that he, Felix, is different than the rest of his family. He is more substance than style than them. He is, well, we find out later, not completely connected with the everyday lives of, you know, the modern person. He is more aware than his family is.
Yeah, it's almost like he's kind of shielded a little bit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, even with the scene when, like, he's showing Oliver, like, through the place, and he's like, oh, also, like, oh, I should have told you that they're probably going to go through your things. Or, like, my mom, she has this weird, like, phobia of facial hair. So, like, you're definitely going to want to shave that before you meet her. Like, and stuff like that. Yeah, he's definitely the, like, before you meet my family, let's spruce these things up. Because I already know they're going to say something, like, intermediary. Like, let me groom you real quick, mm-hmm. kind of a thing. Which is so funny.
Yeah. My favorite line of hers is when she says, I have a complete and utter horror of ugliness ever since I was very young. I don't know why. And then she just kind of like continues to like just describe how much she hates ugliness. I thought it was great.
She had the best lines, dude.
Well, and she says it so, like, genuinely, too.
Yeah.
And just, like, no clue, like, what, how, like, what she is saying and, like, why.
Like, when her friend, like, literally commits suicide, she goes, oh, she'd do anything for attention. Like, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I used to be a lesbian once. And then she says something that I was like, I have never thought of this ever. I was like, I completely disagree. And she goes, like, women are just so wet. And I was like, what? I only disagree with that because I'm like, men are not dry. So I was like, I don't understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, share your thoughts in the comments.
Please.
On that line.
Should I make a poll on Spotify? Be like, oh, what do you guys think about that line?
Yeah, do it.
Do you think that's men are dry? Or that women are too wet? That really is the question. I think the thing that I just can't, like, do with this movie, like, the reason I don't like it is just because there are definitely other movies that I've seen that do it better. Like, I literally kept being like, dang, this is kind of like, I see what you're doing, dang, but, like, you're just not quite, like, finishing the, it's almost like, there's just too many things where it's just like, okay, you brought that up, like, are we gonna finish it? Or, like, why on earth would we do all of this? Like, if he, like, why did he not, why did she have the scene
was
at the end where it explains the whole plan from Oliver's POV? Like, when he goes back,
people aren't,
and I was like, that, I feel like, does the whole thing a disservice. And she did the same thing in Promising Young Woman, and I had an issue with that, too, because I was like, it's almost as if she doesn't trust her audience enough.
No, she doesn't.
And that, like, sucks, because, like, you can't just spoon-feed your audience. Like, you can't make a critique and then spoon-feed it to them.
As a whole, I liked the movie. It was boring.
It is boring
and slow, but I appreciate everything it did, and I like it more as something to talk about, and I like hearing all the different breakdowns of it.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't watch it again.
I literally tried and I couldn't finish it. I was like, I'm so bored. I was just kind of annoyed at that point. I was like, all right.
Yeah, it's but I think the whole point was just to make you uncomfortable. I think it was to make you uncomfortable. I think it was meant to make you think and make you want to do something, kind of about just like all the different, at least one of the aspects of the film, whether it be the classism, whether it be two-facedness, style versus substance. I think it wanted you to think and do, and it was trying to make you uncomfortable as a call to action. But then it was ruined by her spoon-feeding us kind of everything,
like,
with the monologues.
The spoon-feeding part, literally, and I will attribute this to why people misunderstood the film. Like, and we're like, oh, like, what a king. He, like, overcame. He's, like, down with the rich. Like, yes, king. Like, he did that.
Yeah.
It's because she did that whole thing at the end where it's like, this was all a part of the plan. I infiltrated the rich by being poor, and I did all of it, and now it's all mine. Like, you ruined it.
The worst part of the film, I think, were the opening and ending monologues.
And they still aren't really, they don't make sense.
No.
Like, I'm still trying to figure out why he's talking about, was I in love with him?
It was,
I did love him, but I wasn't in love with him.
I swear to God, it might have been, like, one of the very first things we learned when we were learning screenwriting. But I swear to God, it had to have been, like, the first thing. Was don't open with a monologue.
Yeah, how it's, like, a cheat. Like, it's a sign for writing, to be honest. Like, it's a very easy thing to do to fill in space or to, like, give context to something. Mm-hmm. Except this literally does telling, it.
Not showing.
Yeah. Especially when they're out-of-bodied monologues. Like, that actually is one of my biggest pet peeves. Which, this movie, that's not what they did here. I'm just saying, in general, I hate when they have someone that's monologuing to an audience. Like, as if it completely switches the POV for no reason. Gotcha,
yeah, sorry.
Like,
my mind took a moment
The consistency is, like, not there. Like, I think in Twilight they do it, where she, like, gives a monologue at the beginning and the end of the movie.
Which one? I only seen the first one. Really?
Yeah. Okay, she's talking about, like, the lion and the lamb or whatever, and, like, then ends with, like, yeah, and so that's why I think blah, 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 and we're like, okay. But this isn't, like, a retelling of anything. Like, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Because at no point in this movie is it, like, I'm talking to you, audience, and this is what happens. Yeah. Like,
it bothers me so much. I'll have to take your word for that. I've only seen the first Twilight, and I've only seen it once, and that was in theaters.
I love watching Twilight.
When it came out, when all that was, you know, super big, I was kind of, like, in my I'm not like other girls phase.
Same.
So I didn't watch it because all the other girls were watching it. I did read the books. I read all the books, and I only really liked the first book. The other books were kind of like, eh. And so I didn't really see a point in watching the movies.
I did not see a single Twilight movie until 2020.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because then I started sending you Twilight
memes. That was the first time I watched it. And I watched it with my siblings. We were like, oh, my God. Because, like, I think, like, I had seen those memes where they're like, oh, like, Edward Sparkles or whatever. And I was like, LOL, that's funny. But then, like, when I watched the movie and he's literally encrusted in diamond, I was like, oh, my God, they weren't kidding. Like, I thought maybe it was, like, a camera bloom. Like, he's just, like, really, like, shiny. Mm-hmm. Like, no. And I was like, oh, my God. I can't believe they did that.
Yeah, they did what was written. So
I was like, wow. Yeah. Anyway, that's so funny. But yeah, I think, like, spoon feeding the audience in this one at the end, just she needs to stop doing this. She's done it in everything that I've seen her do. Like, she did it in Promising Young Woman at the end, where she's like the girl dies, and then afterwards there's like a phantom text that apparently she knew she was gonna die, so she sent a text to be scheduled with an explanation of what she did and who she sent money to and blah blah blah. And I'm like, that's why would you do that? Like, that almost completely negates the whole fact of, like, everything leading up to that point. Like, her dying should have been the end, because that would have, like, that was the complete bubble, and then you just went too far. Like, you were like, oh, wait, but, like, no, stop it. Same in freaking Killing Eve. It bothers me.
Yeah, I was about to say, she did do Killing Eve, which I actually, Killing Eve was the first TV series that I hard quit.
She did the second season.
How many seasons are
there? There are three. I think she did the second and third.
Okay, then that explains. So the first season of Killing Eve, not bad. Not great, but not bad. Like, I liked it well enough. But then the second season, I could not finish.
You want to know why?
I thought it was really boring.
It's because they got rid of Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah.
Would have tied it all together and made it fucking Wonderwall. But no.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe that was why. Maybe she's just not my director.
Yeah, I just writer. Guess. I have read multiple things too from like other people that have reviewed a lot of the things that she's done, and they're just like, she's a good director. She needs to stop writing the director. Screenplays.
Yeah, I agree. She is a good director.
She needs to step out of the screenplays. Yeah. It's very, you know what it's giving, and I hate to say this, it's giving a little M. Night Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan cameoing in his own movies, in which you did a good thing, but that thing, stop. You did too, like, now you're doing too much. Like, you, stop. The Sixth Sense slept. After that, maybe no. Split, you came back with that one. That was good. And then you did the sequel. Like, you should have left it alone, man.
Yeah. I mean, he's got more flops than movies that I like. But he's not, like, on my... he's not, like, on my list of bad directors.
Stop writing. Just stop writing. Because directing, gorgeous. Love what you did with that. I love how he uses mirrors when he's talking, or when he has conversations between his characters, especially when they're, like, not mentally, like, consistent with what their actions are. Like, it's wonderful. But stop writing, dude. Please.
You know who's on my list of, I guess, people who should stop doing things?
Who?
Zack Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
Should stop directing.
He should. I'm sorry.
And, like, just purely from his work alone, like, not excluding everything else. I've seen hundreds of movies in theaters, right? Multiple of his films I have seen in theaters, and they're the only films I fall asleep during. like, and not even just kind of like during like the boring parts or the exposition parts or kind of like the midpoints when things get slow. Like, I'm talking the climax.
No, literally.
Like, during the big battle scenes.
I hate turning off a movie. Like, I haven't seen his in theaters, but like... most of the movies of his that I have seen, it'll be like right at the point where they're like explaining it all, like it's literally the climax of the movie, and I'm like, I fucking can't, and like I have to turn it off because I'm like, I just no. What?
So the first movie so of dumb. His that I fell asleep in was the Superman one.
Yep, that one was hella long too.
Yeah, well, no, so, like, as Superman's fighting the big bad, right? Yeah. Like, literally, the fight is ongoing. I literally fell asleep in the middle of the fight during the loudest part of the movie. In a movie theater with big-ass speakers where you're meant to, like, feel the sound, yeah, right?
And it's not like he helps his case by using slow-mo every 5 seconds for a scene that should take literally five seconds to make it then fucking 15 minutes, dude. I cannot.
Yeah. I agree. That is painful. That is so painful.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, bro, stop, please.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool the first time you did it. It's not cool anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get so much hate for talking bad about Zack Snyder.
So many people talk bad about Zack Snyder. I did the same thing in Batman vs. Superman during the big climactic battle.
No, literally, when he said Martha, I literally turned the movie off. For the second time, because the first time I turned it off was when they're literally talking about the sketch that was drawn. And they both look at it and immediately go, that looks exactly like the creature that we saw. And it literally looks like a children's drawing of the Batman symbol. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? You're not even going to address the fact that that is a shitty ass drawing and that is comical. Like, it is I saw it, I laughed, thought they were going to make a joke about it, and then they didn't. And I was like, what the frick is this?
I think the fact that they didn't make a joke about it was what pulled me out of the scene.
Yeah, I was like, I dropped. I literally had to turn the movie off. I was like, I can't. And I tried to return the next day, and then the whole Martha thing. And I was like, I did not finish that movie until like months later. Like, I literally was like, let me just look up the ending because I'm not watching.
I think I laughed aloud in the theater at the Martha scene.
I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I laughed at that scene. And I did. Because then I looked around the theater to see if anyone else thought it was as ridiculous as I did.
No, all the film bros are like, this guy's a genius. He should have made the Justice League. I can't wait for Snyder Cut. I'm like, bitch, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Snyder Cut was also bad. It was not any better.
I think I've talked to you about why I don't think the Snyder Cut should have been made, and it's not because of money reasons or anything. Like, personally, I don't think Snyder should have made it, and I think that they bribed him with something to do it.
There was drama about that where it was he was gonna do it, and then he literally his daughter or something happened, some family issue.
So he was filming Justice League, and then his daughter committed suicide. So he stepped back and said, hey, I can't do this anymore. I need to be there for my family. Mm-hmm. To which, at the time it seemed like Warner Brothers was very much like, okay, yeah, sure. We'll let you go. Like, it seemed like they were very, they let him step away, no problem.
Yeah.
Which usually, I want to say, isn't common, because contracts and money and all the hype that they had put into it, but they had they're also on a timetable,
yeah,
so they pivoted and then they made the movie anyways. Yeah,
it's like telling Tarantino sorry, actually no.
Mm-hmm. But so afterwards, when Justice League came out and it started getting all the bad reviews and people were calling for the Snyder Cut, Snyder came out and he said, I can't go back to this film. This film has too many bad memories for me. I have so many bad associations attached to this. There's no way I'm going to revisit this film. I'm not going to make a cut. Please stop asking. You're bringing up very hard memories for me. To which no one listened to him. And eventually we ended up getting the Snyder's Cut, and I want to know what went on behind those doors. I want to know how they bribed him into making that cut.
My lord.
Mm-hmm. I think that is all my thoughts on Saltburn.
Yeah, back to Saltburn. I'm like, I don't like it. And literally, I had to write down every single movie that it made me think of, because I was like, mm-hmm. Just because of that extra step, that ruined the movie. Like, I think literally when people ask me my opinion about it, and I was like, it's not a bad movie. It just, you can't go into it with the thought of it's going to be like any of these things that you would think that it would be. I was like, don't think of it as like don't think too hard about it being a critique. Just watch it as a thriller and you'll fucking get everything you need. Like, it's still a critique. They do the critique well. If you look at it as like a regular thriller, like horror movie, which most of them are critiques anyway, like, it's so much better to look at it through that lens than it is to look at it through, like, oh, she's gonna do, like, a thing. Like, it's gonna be class structure. Like, we're gonna be talking about, like, eating the rich and blah, 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 and, like, all of that stuff. And I'm like, nope. You also can't look at it as being, like, a, ooh, gay undertones, maybe? Because I was like, is this gonna be, like, Talented Mr. Ripley? Which I fucking wish it was. But it was not. Sad. So yeah, if you haven't seen the movie,
to the class structure, I think when it comes to class structure, Parasite did it better.
Oh yeah. Like, if we're doing the like, we don't like this main character, like, this is kind of a downfall, like, tragic story thing. The other movie that freaking Rosamund Pike was in that was on Netflix did it so much better. I Care a Lot. She's literally scamming old people. And what made the movie, I literally think I fought with somebody over this because they were saying like, oh, we don't like it when it's like bury your gaze. And I was like, but that movie in particular, she needed to die at the end. Spoilers. Yeah. Like, she needed to die at the end because then it literally is a full circle, like, plot.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
This one was not.
So then, okay, what are movie recommendations that do it better? Or just similar vibes? What are your recommendations?
My recommendations are Talented Mr. Ripley, Do Revenge, Ingrid Goes West, and I Care a Lot.
Ingrid Goes West is on my list. Mine's mostly based off vibes. I have Nightcrawler, American Psycho, Ingrid Goes West, The Social Network, and Parasite.
The Social Network.
The vibes.
Yeah. We should talk about that movie.
Directed by a woman, I believe. So we can.
Because I just like that movie in general. Mm-hmm. Like, just like, as to talk about it, to talk about that movie and all of the different things going on from like a feminist woman's perspective, like just being like a person that exists as a woman in the world and looking at that movie through that lens is so interesting to me. Maybe we'll do it for Patreon.
Okay.
It's fun. Yeah. It's a fun one.
Yeah. I agree. So we know you hate the movie, but what's your rating?
My rating? It's probably like mid. Like, it's just like, it's 6 out of 10.
Okay. I want to go back and listen to all the episodes that I've done to see how many movies I actually like. Mainly because I'm going to say something that I feel like I say every time we record, which is I didn't like it, but I'm going to score it high. I probably give it like an 8.
An 8?
Yeah. I'm taking points off because of the pacing. It's super slow.
Gorgeous. And it's gorgeous. The acting?
It is.
Really great.
It is. Yeah. It's scoring high because of the technical aspects.
Yeah.
I like everything pretty much except for the pacing and then the bookend monologues. It's not a movie I like. It's not a movie I'd go back and watch again. But everything else was done so well, in my opinion, that I'm rating it high.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, ugh. It's like, yeah, I've already gone into, it's just too, it's like, I don't, it's like I'm almost offended by the time I get to the end of the movie. Like, I'm all excited to see, like, what the, like, how it's gonna end, and then we get to the end, and I'm like, okay, that's it, and then it's like, nope, just kidding, she's gonna keep talking, and now I feel offended, like, did you not think that? Okay, as an audience, well, fine, fuck it, whatever, I don't know, sure, why not? And I'm like, you know that this actually is to your detriment, right?
Yeah. I think 6 is still a good rating for you to give it, all things considered.
Yeah. I think a lot of people think more about this movie specifically because it has hot people in it. Which is something that I was like, I think, like, had it not had, like, Jacob Elordi and Barry Keoghan in it. And I'm also, I have been in love with Barry Keoghan since Killing of a Sacred Deer. And I literally think in our Eternals episode, I was like, I think this man is so hot for some reason, and I don't know why. and I think people are sleeping on him. And then this movie comes out, and now everybody wants him very Keegan. I'm like, you know what? Shut the fuck up. I fucking told y'all, and y'all told me that I was crazy. So no, you don't get this. Y'all can thirst over Jacob Elordi, whatever. He's too perfect. He's, like, tall and weird. Not weird. He's literally, once again, perfect. That I don't... Anyway, let the record know that I knew Barry Keoghan was hot before y'all.
I think, like, for me, I think the prettiest person in the film is...
Rosamund Pike.
Yeah. I the other... Everyone else doesn't really do it
Rosamund
for me.
Rosamund Pike is like a, gorgeous.
She is. She's very pretty.
Like... I was not kidding when I said I love her. Like, oh my god. I'm like, I will literally watch anything just because she's in it.
I think she's getting 3 new AMC commercials.
Rosamund Pike? Nicole Kidman.
Wait, no. Shit. Cut that, please.
I
will.
I was like, hang on. But yeah, I don't. 6 is probably the most I'll give it.
Mm-hmm.
Bordering on like a 5, but I wouldn't give it less than that. Okay. Like, it's entertaining. It sparks conversation. You can still like dissect it and talk about it in ways that are like construct. Like, for filmmaking point of view, like, it's pretty good. Cool that it's a woman director. Cool that she's able to just make a movie without it having to be like, is this a feminist movie? I love that.
Yeah.
Because the first movie she made was not that.
No.
Once again, to her own detriment for being like, this is a feminist bombshell girl boss movie. And then it being like, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. She really does not want to make a character that like people would want to root for. Like, she really does not want to do that.
Like, so... Like, when you're writing, it's more interesting to not write a hero.
Yeah, it is. It's just, like, she really does not want you to even, like, man, I keep wanting to, I just saw Dune 2, and I keep wanting to bring this up, but, like, even in the books, you've got, like, the, you're not supposed to like this guy kind of a thing. You've got Hunger Games, the Songbirds and Snake. You know this guy is evil. But you still end up rooting for him, like, in the very, like, in the particular story that you're watching, even though you know he's going to be evil, because there are certain aspects that you're like, okay, I can kind of see where he's coming from. But her characters do not have that aspect of any type of, like, relatability. And when they do have that, it's taken away from them by the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, just kidding, that was a lie.
Yes, yeah.
He's actually upper middle class. Both of his parents are alive. He just said that for some reason. Why? Why did he do that?
He lost me.
I guarantee you, being upper middle class, he still would have gotten all of the attention for being poor with all of the rich people. And yet he still decided, no, I'm going to lie to this guy, tell him that my parents have mental issues, that my dad was a drug dealer, and my mom is literally batshit crazy, and that I can't go home. And then when you decide to pull away from me because I'm being a little too overbearing, and you're like, okay, I need a break, I'm going to then tell you that my father's dead. Only for you to later find out that I just come from a normal family. What the fuck? That is the thing that I'm just like, that, please explain. Why? Don't explain how. I want to know why. Because that is so extra. Which is why I'm like, if you look at it through a thriller perspective, like, oh, he's just a psychopath or a sociopath or whatever the fuck.
Do you think it's her trying to, like, write extra dimensions into a character? I have no idea, but that's a
crazy thing to do. Just as a character. Like, there is no reason that we see at all for him to want to do any of this. Like, we're just supposed to, believe it. Like, and if you were like, yeah, he's poor, then great. We would have been like, yeah, he, like, really wants to be rich or whatever. And he's also just a little weird. But then to be like, just kidding, actually, he comes from a completely normal family and he's completely fine. And we're like, this man is unhinged. Like, now this is just a scary movie. Like, I would rather it just be a scary movie and he's a sociopath or something. Like, because that's crazy. That's a weird-ass thing to do. Like, is it just a movie about obsession? I wish.
Yeah.
But it's not, because you've already said literally before we all saw the movie that it's more than that. And so now I have conflictions.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's lazy writing. I don't know if it's the fact that she doesn't know how to do a well-dimensioned character, or if she's trying to do, like...
It's like, maybe she's trying to do too much all at once.
She's trying to do, like, a M. Night Shyamalan with characters. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think it's definitely more fun to write a villain, to write someone's downfall than it is to write, you know, their hero arc. I'm not gonna lie, like, she does do it fairly well, because by the end of the movie you're certainly not liking the character. And I've seen a lot of people try to attempt similar things with their characters, and it is something. I think very the thing is that
there
do.
Isn't really an arc in the character. Like, the character makes decisions and does things, and they're just reacting to other things that are happening, but, like, the decisions that they're making, mm-hmm. like, to move the plot forward are just, they have no solid reasoning behind them, that it's kind of like, the character's not changing by the end of it. Like, there isn't a lesson learned by the end of it for, like, the character. Like, we just watch this guy do all of this, mm-hmm. and it just is literally the same linear line. And then it's like, okay, well, there's supposed to be a lesson for the audience. And it's like, okay, but even in that, like, even if you look at, like, comedy, tragedy, like, the fall of a hero, like, at some point, there is an arc. It is more than just a flat line.
Yeah.
There are stakes. And then you would, like, you follow along with the movie. And you're like, okay, I think I understand the stakes. Yes, you've given me the stakes now. And then it's like, just kidding. And then it ends. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. She does build up very well. Yeah. But then she undercuts herself at the last moment. And then just ends it.
It's like, I really want to root for her. But then she does this. And I'm like, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I want to like your movies. I really fucking do. They are gorgeous. Your directing is cool, but your writing is really turning mm-hmm. me off. I'm so sorry.
I think because of all the discourse that this movie has caused, she is going to continue 100%. To be able to write her own. Because it's the
same
movies.
Thing with Promising Young Woman. So many think pieces and articles are being written. Everyone's talking about it. The first one, she freaking mm-hmm. was nominated for an Oscar, and I'm fairly certain she also won one, which I completely disagree with. And then she just gets to keep writing them. And then there's, like, why? I'm interested. I'm like, is she a Nepo baby of some sort? Because, like, how did she get the opportunity in the first place? Because if she were a person of color, they would have never let this come off the ground.
Well, I was going to ask you later kind of, like, where she came from. Because if you look up her credits... She's got 6 previous films, or 6 previous projects. Yeah. Yeah, for writer. So you have Saltburn, so going, let's, I guess, oldest to newest. 6 episodes of the TV series Drifters.
I think it's British.
Which I've never heard about. I don't know if you
I know
have.
She's British.
Interesting. Then you have a short, Careful How You Go. 6 episodes of Killing Eve. Then you have Promising Young Woman, a music video, and then Saltburn.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I'm like, she's getting discourse and all of this stuff, and yet freaking Woman King got nothing. Significantly better movie.
Yeah.
Excellent acting. Excellent directing. Nope. Like, when I tell you a person of color could not get away with this, she's just out here doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, she must
There's
have
gotta be.
Some
I'm
type
convinced.
Of connection somewhere. Yeah, because I don't know how else.
Like, let alone the fact that she's a woman.
Any of this could have been done.
Because, you know, they also would never, like, there is something.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's gotta be, I swear. Like, she has to have some sort of, like, rich parent or someone that, like, is a studio exec and just was like, oh, yeah, my daughter, my cousin, my niece, whatever. I don't know. But there's some line where she was already in the industry before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Those are my thoughts. That is how I feel. That's how I feel. And yeah, that's it. I don't have any more else to say about about this. I think I said it all. It's off my chest.
Are we done then? Is that it? Because I don't have anything else.
I think it is. I think we have talked this movie to death. So now that we've gone through recommendations and we have talked about Promising Young Woman, oh my god, we've talked about Saltburn, we're done. We've given you recommendations. We have nothing more to say. We would love to hear what you guys have to say. Like we said, this is definitely one of those like conversational piece movies, so like I definitely love talking about this movie or like hearing what other people think. I just didn't necessarily like the movie itself. But I like that about movies.
I like knowing what, yeah. I like knowing what people think because I end up liking movies better after I hear why other people like films. So maybe you guys can convince me that this movie wasn't slow. Maybe you can convince me it wasn't boring. We'll see. Drop your theories.
I really
want to know everything.
You can email us at femnoirpodcast. Just kidding. That's not our email. You can email us. You can email us. You can DM us. Just do whatever. Get a hold of us. Talk with us. Comment on our post. And we'll love to hear what you have to say. And hopefully have a great conversation with you guys later. If you guys are looking for more content, we do have a Patreon, and we are actively putting out content on there, so definitely go and check it out. We've got some Bachelor talks that we have, and probably definitely just other tangents. If you just enjoy having like a companion, it's very cheap, I promise, and you will help keep this podcast alive. So once again, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you in the next one.